Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, let's take our teaching outline and get ready. Locate a pen or pencil if you like, and you can jot down a few notes as we go through this message. It's great to see Apostle and Sister C here with us again this morning. They've been in the far distant land, suffering for Jesus in the land of Hawaii. And they have been preaching, teaching, and counseling pastors, and even started two small churches in this last trip that they were gone. So, you know, the kingdom of God is advancing, and I think you probably had some fun too, but you should. That's why I go. Amen. I want to welcome you to the sanctuary and in the cafe. If you're listening, you've got your teaching outlines, hopefully. Cafe is an extension during the message of the main auditorium. That helps us a lot, and some people like to be a part of the cafe. It's a great time. Or if you're joining us online, we're glad you're here. Today, I'm sticking a fork in this message, Teach Me to Prosper, because it's just about done. This is our conclusion in this series, and over the last few weeks, we've looked at over 40 Old Testament and New Testament scriptures that all together confirm one single amazing truth that can help your life, and that is this: it is God's will that His people prosper in all things. We have looked at this from Genesis to Revelation. It is God's plan that we would prosper and be in health, that our souls would be well, that our bodies would be well, and that we would have an abundant life, the life that Jesus came to bring us. And at the end of the message today, we always have prayer for people, but we're going to do something a little bit different for the next few weeks at Gateway. I have a feeling it's going to go much longer than that, but the worship team is going to come back at the end of my teaching time, and we're just going to have Holy Spirit time every Sunday. We're just going to enter back into the presence of the Lord by singing. We're going to welcome the Holy Spirit and just let Him have His way. So as we come to that moment today, I just encourage you, we'll probably stand and lift our hands and just allow the truth of God's Word and just be able to respond to Him and these things that we're learning from Him. I want to say, though, and maybe I should save this for the end of the service, but I really feel a prompting from the Lord to pray for people that are under 30 in this room. I just want you, if you would, just let me do this, be obedient to the Lord. If you're under 30, would you please stand right now? I just want to have prayer for you. Now, here's what's on my mind. Here's what's on my mind. There is a tremendous fear that comes against your generation, especially in Silicon Valley. And the fear is like this: we can't make it here. We'll never be able to own a home. We'll never be able to afford good things. We'll never be able to earn as much as we need to earn to make it. But I just want to speak this over you, that if you will love the Lord and if you will put Him first in your life, you are going to be the head and not the tail all the days of your life. This, what I'm preaching and teaching, this works in Enid, Oklahoma, and it works in San Jose, California. God can bless you wherever you are. You don't have to go find God's blessing. God's blessing will find you. David said this: surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And here's the deal: where I am blessed, and I am blessed where I am. And I want to pray for you because I know the battle. I have two sons myself in your age range. I know the pressures that young families are under. I know if you're planning a marriage, planning a wedding, an engagement, believing God for good things in your life, I believe God is there for you and He wants you to succeed and prosper. So would you, if you're under 30, just lift your hands to the Lord as I pray for you. Don't be ashamed, but let this be a Holy Spirit blessing moment. Father, I pray over these lives, Lord. I'm so grateful for this next generation that You're raising up, Lord. And God, You have been faithful from generation to generation. And I speak blessing over them, prosperity and blessing over this generation, that, Lord, You will establish them not only spiritually and not only physically, but you will establish them in the land financially, Lord. You will bless them, and in blessing, they will be blessed, Father God. I pray that you will teach them to prosper and all of us in the strong name of Jesus. Now let's give this next generation a hand in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You guys believe God. And I'll share with you next Sunday a miracle moment that I had on an overpass right here in the city of San Jose. A moment in time where my life changed, and my life financially, emotionally, and spiritually has never been the same since that moment and what the Lord spoke to me on that overpass. I believe it'll minister to your hearts next Sunday. Now, this last message is entitled On the Border of a Blessing. And our scripture is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, his commands, his decrees, and his laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. These words of Moses, the great prophet of Israel, the lawgiver, these are among the last recorded words that he spoke. When did he say these words? He spoke them to the children of Israel as they were on the border of the promised land. It was his life's work to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And for 40 years, they wandered and journeyed through the wilderness. And now the moment has come. They are standing on the threshold of everything that they have been journeying for, the land of milk and honey, all the trouble, all the testing, all the trial. Now they're right there on the border. And Moses speaks to them. And what he says to them become the book of Deuteronomy. This is Moses' speech to them. He's not going into the land with them. He's staying on his side of the border, but the children of Israel, now a generation old, are going into the promised land, and Moses is talking to them. He's at the end of his life. He's looking at this land from a distance. He's telling them how to possess the land, what to do, what not to do. He says, when you go in, this is going to happen. And if this happens, do this. And if this doesn't happen, make sure you remember to do this. And God is going to bless you in the land. And his message to them is, you're ready to enter in. Now keep God first, and he will surely bless you all the days of your life. These words are so powerful. I mean, it's kind of like Moses is a little bit like a, if I could use a crude analogy, he's kind of like a coach at halftime talking to his players about the Super Bowl championship. He's saying, listen, this is it, guys. This is where the rubber meets the road. The whole season has been about this moment. And he gives them a pep talk, and he guides them in how they should be thinking and how they should be experiencing the trials and the challenges and seeing their journey up to this point. And this moment, I believe, is a prophetic moment. It's not just for the children of Israel, but it's for you and it's for me. Because the Bible says that everything that happened to the children of Israel was written exactly for our edification and that we could learn. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul said the things which happened to our ancestors, the Jewish people, are illustrations of the way in which God works. I get a little testy and a little frustrated with people that want to rip entire sections out of the Bible and throw it away. They want to say, well, you know, this book was written to these people, so it's not really for you. And then this doctrine, you know, it's true that it was in the Bible, but that was then and this is now, and so don't worry about that. And they want to piece by piece take the Bible apart. It's like going to Yellowstone Park, that glorious, beautiful place, and looking at the mountains and looking at the trees and looking at the streams and the flowers and everything. That you just want to take it all in, and some nerdy tour guide comes and says, well, you can't really touch the river because that's not for you. And so don't look at it. And you can't really, you know, those mountains, those aren't actually in this country. They're on the other side of the border, so that's not for you. And pretty soon all you got left is a little patch of grass. Let me tell you something about God's word. Every word that God has written is for you. And usually what you'll find is that people that want to, you know, hive off entire sections of the Bible or throw away Bible doctrines, it's to make their particular doctrine seem more important and more special. But the truth is, we find the whole truth of God's word speaks to us. And so the stories that I read from the Old Testament, for example, the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, the stories of the sacrifices, the stories of Israel journeying through the wilderness, all of that speaks to us. And what does it teach us in? Things we don't need? Things we have to forget? Things that we shouldn't bother with? No, that teaches us the ways of our God. It teaches us who God is and how he works and how we can enter into the land. So today, fair warning, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures from Deuteronomy. The reason is, I've been reading Deuteronomy, and it's been blessing me. And I just like, this is so good, I got to give it to my church. So we're going to go through Deuteronomy and look at some talks that Moses gave to the children of Israel on the border of a blessing. And before I go there, I want to just say a couple of things. Number one, I want to make sure we're established in this, that faith in Christ is what opens the door to an abundant life. We're talking about prosperity and blessing and having that abundant life. It's Christ. He's the door. If we're at the threshold, the only reason we can cross the threshold of blessing is because Christ has made a way for us through his death and resurrection. And without Jesus, we could never enter in to all that God has for us. And he came to give us that abundant and glorious life. You can't, you might be able to get to wealth apart from Jesus. You might be able to get to nice vacations and cars apart from Jesus, but you will never get to life and abundant apart from Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So let's not make any mistakes here today. Jesus is the only reason that we could cross the border. And I want to just give this to you kind of as a prophecy. I'm not sure what's happening in your life right now. Maybe you just started a business. Maybe you're planning a marriage. Maybe you've been through, you know, a huge time of wilderness season. I don't know exactly what your story is at the moment. But I feel in my heart just to tell you that many of you are exactly where the children of Israel, you are on the border of a blessing right now. You are standing on the precipice, on the threshold, and God is saying to you, walk across in it. Jesus is your door. And the next thing I want us to understand is that prosperity is a journey of cooperation. So there's a sense in which Jesus has paid it all. Jesus has done the work for us. But there's another real sense. If we're going to get everything God has for us, that we have a part to play in that. And so when we say things like it's only by faith or it's all by grace, yeah, it's all by grace that the door has opened and that the way has been made. But you have a part. You have a role to play. You must cooperate with God through faith and prayer and obedience and long-suffering. And all the commands of Scripture are absolutely valid. Jesus paved the way, but we have a personal responsibility if we're going to move forward into the things of God. So it's a journey, and it's a journey of cooperation. The Lord will tell us when to stop. He will tell us when to go. He will tell us when to fight. He will tell us when to stand still, and he will fight. He will guide us. He will take us through tests and past trials and into great blessings. But it's a relationship. It's a cooperative effort to come into a land of prosperity. Okay, so with that in mind, let me give you this morning 5 reminders on the border of blessing. 5 things that Coach Moses would want you to know as you get ready to step in to the greatest season of blessing in your life. Number one, in the book of Deuteronomy, I see the promise of prosperity, the promise of prosperity. For example, chapter 28, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you, Moses says, then the Lord will set you high above the nations of the world. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be what?
Blessed.
Listen, wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on a few of the things that you do. Is that what it says? Hope it turns out right. Is that what it says? The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Is anybody getting the impression? Is anybody getting the impression that God wants to bless you?
Yes.
He promises it. And I'm gonna confess, when I read that thing, I could not believe what I was reading. Because I've had too narrow of a concept of blessing, God's blessing on my life. My concept had been, if I get it right, if I hear God, if I get the timing right, if I'm in the right place at the right time and I do exactly what he tells me, then I'll be blessed. So you're always trying to sweat the details. You're always trying to say, well, you know, which college do I need to go? I better get the right college. Which job offer should I take? I want to be led by the Lord, and I don't want to get this wrong, because if I get it wrong, I'm not going to be blessed. How many of you have ever thought that way?
Yeah.
I prayed with people. It's a lot of pressure, you know. You got to buy the right house. You got to get the right apartment. You got to get the right girlfriend. You got to, you know, use the right toothpaste and wear the right deodorant. You know, everything's got to be just right. And then if you get everything right in the perfect will of God, then he will bless you. But oh, if you miss any of the details, you're on your own. And when I read this, I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. There is a place in God where he says, wherever you go and whatever you do, I'm going to bless you. You can go to this college or that college. I'll bless you anyhow. You can take this job or that job. Just choose the one you want, because I'm blessing you. And that's not to say that God doesn't have a will and a plan for us. But he's not wound so tight that he can't figure out a way to totally bless you wherever you go. The will of God is not some skinny, narrow moment that we have to spend our lives sweating about. There is a place in God where we will be blessed no matter what we choose. As long as God sees our heart and he knows that it's our desire to love him and serve him, he says, that's my child, they're going to be blessed. You can be blessed in Milpitas. You can be blessed in Modesto. You can be blessed in Los Gatos, especially Los Gatos. And you can be blessed wherever you go and whatever you do. I don't know, should I be a teacher or should I go into the military? Wherever you go and whatever you do, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go and whatever you do. So seek his will and seek his purpose, but understand that he is committed to blessing your life. There's a promise of blessing for you. Be free as you make your decisions. Consult with the Lord. Get it right. But believe that God is going to bless you whatever decision you make. Amen?
Amen?
Boy, I'm excited about that. Take some pressure off of me. Where are you going to be next week? I don't know, but I'm going to be blessed. I'm living the dream. Whatever I do, wherever I go, if I get it wrong, I'll back it up and get it right. I'm blessed. I'm not fearful. And I'm not on my own. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let me just throw this in, because I want to make sure that we get this. Affluence, blessing, abundance, that is not necessarily a confirmation that you're getting everything right. There are plenty of evil people in the world that are affluent. How many understand that? So it doesn't mean if a person has wealth or affluence or it appears that something's going right for somebody for a moment, that doesn't mean that God is all over them and that God is blessing them. Nor does it mean if you have a need, if you're a little short at the moment or you're going through a trial or a test, it doesn't mean that God has somehow turned away from you.
Right.
Your bank account is not a barometer of blessing in your life. There are many, many more nuances and facets of what it means to be blessed. And some of the most beautiful, loving, Christ-like servants in the world have very, very little. I've met thousands of them all over the world. They don't have shoes. They walk 11 miles to be in a worship service. But they have abundance in Christ. See, I've served them. I've loved them. I've lived with them. So if you're going through a hard time, don't take that, well, God is against me because I have a 3-bedroom house instead of a 4. Or I have a Chevy instead of a Lexus. Don't be carnal that way. And don't assume that if you're in a moment of testing or difficulty that somehow God has turned his back. And don't be so presumptuous to think that if you're riding kind of high and sitting kind of pretty, that somehow God is just all about, you know, everything you do is just fantastic. Because that isn't right either. Amen. Here's what Paul said. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to what? Live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering lack. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, my real wealth is Jesus. Listen, you keep Jesus the center of your life. You keep his presence in your life. If you have Christ, you have it all. Whether you're riding high or sitting low. Amen? God doesn't love you anymore if you're in first class and if you're in coach. Can I have a hallelujah? All right. There's a promise of blessing. But then, secondly, there's a precondition of prosperity. There's a part that we have to play. There are conditions. I get a little irritable sometimes too when people just say that, you know, we don't have to do anything. It's all been done for us. We don't have to do anything to be saved. But if you want to eat, Jack, you got to get a job. So the Lord didn't do that for you, okay? So can we get real for a minute? Some people are so super spiritual, it's like weird. You know, I eat by grace, I live by faith, everything is... Listen, we do live by faith. That's what opens the door, and that's what gets us on the right level, where we can obey the Lord and cooperate with God and be led by the Spirit and pray and fight the battles and learn the lessons, all of that. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just kick back and put our feet up on the chair and say, everything's just going to come to me because I'm saved. I don't know if that's going to work for you. If you try it, that's good. But in my experience, I've had to cooperate with God. There are some conditions for blessing. For example, Jesus said, if you believe, all things shall be possible. Right? Awesome verse on faith. But what's the condition? If you believe. So if you don't believe, evidently not all things are possible for you. So we have a part. So here's Deuteronomy 5. Oh, that they would always have hearts. Everyone say hearts. Oh, that they would have hearts like this, that they might fear me and obey my commands. If they did, then they and their descendants would prosper forever. Wow. God says to Moses, go and tell them, return to your tents, but you stand here with me so I can give you all my commands, decrees, and regulations. You must teach the people. Moses, I'm going to give you the pep talk. You got to help them understand. And they got to listen to, and they got to believe what you say, because you're going to teach them how to prosper. And then they can obey the land, obey them in the land that I am giving for their possession. So Moses told the people, you must be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God, following his instructions in every detail. Stay on the path that the Lord your God has commanded you to follow. Then you will live long and prosperous lives in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. There's so much for us to learn. And prosperity, as I've tried to lay it out in this series, is it's a learning curve. It's a process of discovering God's will and his best, doing it his way. It's like Isaiah 48, I am the Lord your God who teaches you how to succeed. It's a learning curve. It's a process of understanding what God has said and how we can interact in that. That's a learning curve, but it begins with this. All of prosperity starts with that one thing called heart condition. I cannot prosper unless I have a teachable, obedient heart. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for me to be perfect. He's not looking for you to be perfect. Banish that from your thinking completely. You and I, God isn't even wondering if we can be perfect. He isn't even a little bit hopeful that we can be perfect. God is ready to work with us as we are, exactly as we are. And he has paved the way through Christ for us to inherit mighty things as imperfect people. But he is looking for a heart. He's looking for a heart that is obedient, a heart that loves him and fears him. So that's a precondition. Prosperity begins with a teachable, obedient heart. The third part of Moses' pep talk to Israel, they're there on the threshold of blessing. They're about to enter into everything that he's been promising. They need to know this, the process of prosperity. They need to understand that it's not going to come overnight. Look at Deuteronomy 7. The Lord your God will clear away all these nations before you. How, church? Say it, little by little. And he says, you're not going to get this all at once. Here's how you enter into a place of blessing. Here's how your life's going to unfold, an inch at a time. You know, it's like one of the greatest ideas about football. Football is a great game because it's a game of inches. It's a game of taking ground every chance you can, pressing and pushing, and you don't win, you know, you don't win a football game on the first play. You got to stay with the game. You've got to persevere. You've got to press, and it's a contest. It's the same way of entering into a life of blessing. Now, I'm sorry to tell you that you have some enemies in your life. Not everybody is excited about you prospering. And I don't mean the person sitting next to you. Although that could be true, but I hope it isn't true. But the enemy, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's a devourer. There are, my friends, giants in the land. They think that land belongs to them. God says, now go in there and clear those guys out. Take them out a step at a time. And you're not going to be able to do all this all at once. This is a journey of growth and development. You say there's giants in the land. Well, I thought that it was the way it was made. Yes, but the Lord is so wise that he cannot resist an opportunity to teach you faith. So he leaves a few giants there for you to deal with. He allows them to be your sparring partner. Now, the game is fixed. You're going to win. You have the victory. But you're going to learn when to duck. You're going to learn when to faint and when to strike. Because God is building you up and making you strong. He's making you able to stand in victory and in life. And it's hard to have a victory if you've never faced an enemy. It's hard to be a real champion. It's hard to really be a champion if you've never actually won a battle or been in a fight. God allows us to wrestle. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just say, it's all by faith, and it's all by grace, and there's no battles, but there are. But grace and faith is what gets you through the battle and brings you to a place where you've learned how to rule and reign in life through the power of Jesus Christ. Everyone say, it's a process. And don't be afraid. I've been to some really exotic countries the last 25 years or so, places like Myanmar. I've been 3 or 4 times to Vietnam, places where it's illegal to do what I do. And inevitably, you know, my first time going into Vietnam, I remember the people that were bringing us in saying, now, look, if you get arrested, here's what you got to do. And I'm like, Excuse me, what? There's a giant in the land. I might be, you know, I'm going into a place. I remember one time sneaking across a border without documentation just to conduct a pastor's seminar. That's something you can get in bad trouble that way. And I'm not going to do that again. I'm smarter now. I'm also not going to skydive anymore. It was fun. It was fun while it lasted, but I got my fill of that, okay? I'm 53 years old. I can't be doing all that crazy stuff. But the point is, you're going to encounter certain moments where you say, this is kind of dangerous now. Is God with me or not? And he's with you. But it's a process. Now, look at Genesis chapter 26. Do I have time to share this? I do. Genesis 26, verses 12 and 13. Here's the process. Isaac sowed in that land, this great patriarch, this great example of our faith. Sowed, he gave, he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, how did it work out? How did prosperity come? He began to prosper. He continued prospering. And then he finally came to a place where he was very prosperous. Everybody say process. I wish I could say that, you know, the first minute you obey the Lord, you know, you bring him your tithe or you practice something that you've learned in this series, immediately, you know, all your problems are going to go away and you're going to be 100% in the land. We've just begun, and it's a process, and we stay with it, and we're patient all the way through the process of prosperity. Number four, and the worship team is going to be coming back here in just a minute. We're going to just have Holy Spirit time, all right? But let me give you the last two points here, the pressure test of prosperity. I can remember as a child, my dad was a plumber before he was a businessman, and so whenever something needed to be fixed that involved plumbing at our house, he would always do it himself, and I was his plumber's helper, right? I would go get the wrench or whatever it was. And inevitably, when a connection was made or a solder was done or whatever, the water would be off while the repair was being made, and then he would slowly turn the water back on, and he would watch that joint to make sure that it was holding. That's called the pressure test. So the water comes, and then that's how you can tell if there's a leak. Now, in God, even prosperity is a test. And God will slowly turn the prosperity levels up in your life, and he will watch your heart, and he will watch your decisions to make sure that your faith is going to hold up even under blessing. Prosperity is a test. Somebody say, Lord, test me quickly. I'm ready for the test. Right? Why? Why do I say that? Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, for when you become full and prosperous, you've built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied. Whoa, that sounds good. Along with everything else, he says, be careful. Do not become proud at this time. Do not forget the Lord your God. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. 1 Corinthians 10 says that rock was Christ. He fed you with manna in the wilderness. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good, because God knows that if some of you won the lottery today, you would never be back. Because some of you, if you just got everything you were asking God for all at once, it would ruin you. You wouldn't need God, you wouldn't need faith, you wouldn't need the scripture. God wants to turn the water of prosperity up slowly in our lives to make sure we're holding steady and we're still seeking him first. Because he said, I'm going to bless you with such blessings. I'm going to bless you so hard it could blow you away, God says. You could literally forget. I'm going to bless you with such splendor that you could, if you're not grounded in me, you could forget where you came from. You could forget who gave you this power. The greatest test in the world is not failure. The greatest test in the world is success. Can you hold steady? Can you stay humble? Can you remember where you came from? It's a test. And I know you all want this test right away. So let's pray. Lord, test us. All right, last piece. Are you getting anything out of this today? You're on the border of a blessing. You're ready to enter in. Here's what you need to know. Last piece, the purpose of prosperity. God wants us to understand why he's going to bless us. Why would he give us all these things? It's not just for us. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant. God is a covenant God. God wants people to be saved. God will bless us and make us wealthy, especially so that we can use our resources to preach the gospel, plant churches, support missionaries, and see lives change. Prosperity is not about me and my comfort. It's about putting resources into my hands so that I can be a part of blessing the nations. This is my last point in my last message of this series on prosperity, and it is this. We are blessed to be a blessing. What is the purpose? You're saying, God, bless me, prosper me. What is the purpose? Bless me, Lord, so that I can be a blessing. Amen. We have churches to plant. We have missionaries to send. We have a city to touch. We have a people that are ready to evangelize and share. We want to see lives changed. The reason I want you to be, yes, I'm an evil, terrible man. I preach for 6 weeks on prosperity. Well, I know why you want to do that, Pastor David. You're trying to get a bunch more money for the church. Yes, I know. Isn't that terrible? It's horrible. Shame on me that I would want to fund world missions, that I would want to build a great church to impact the city of San Jose, that I would want people to have the same experience that I had meeting Jesus and being forgiven of my sins and changed forever. Listen, prosperity has a purpose. There's a reason God will bless you. Enjoy it. Enjoy prosperity, but be a blessing with it. Amen. Would you stand with me? I think I just feel a worship moment coming on. I think I feel a Holy Spirit moment coming. That we could just respond to God and love him and thank him for his blessings and his prosperity. And let me tell you this, if we keep Jesus as the center, we're never going to go wrong. We're going to have it all. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, thank you.
Jesus at the center. Jesus at the center of it all.
Come on, church. It's Holy Spirit time.
Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Nothing else.
Center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Jesus be the center of your church. Come on,
this is our prayer.
Jesus be the center of your church.
Every knee will bow.
Every knee will bow.
That's what happens.
Every tongue shall confess you.
As we're worshiping, I can feel there are people in this room. You just have literal pain in your heart. I mean, like a knife is in your heart, and you want to believe and you want to trust, but it's like you just feel like a hopelessness. You feel like nothing is working. And I just see the hand of Jesus just coming right now to just, and there is a knife of fear, a knife of hopelessness. And I see the hand of the Lord just pulling that thing out. And I see just like a healing miracle come and close up that wound. And I really see hope returning to your life. I see grace. It was like the enemy just came. Maybe it was through a disappointing circumstance. Maybe it's been the wilderness journey that you've been in that's just felt so painful for you. But it is not God's will for you to feel pain. God wants to fill you with encouragement. And I just want you just to lift your hands to the Lord and just exchange that pain and that hurt and that discouragement, and just let fresh faith come into your life. And just let all that junk drain out of you. God is replacing you right now and refilling you with hope and strength and life. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing transformation to our hearts and lives, Lord. Thank you for confirming this word in every person's life, that we are on the border of a blessing, Lord, and we will press in and we will possess all that you have for us, Lord. How gracious you are, Lord. If you're with someone that you love and care about, maybe just place a hand of blessing and healing on their shoulder, their arm, and just speak a life blessing over them right now. Father, we just speak blessing over one another right now. Lord, whatever the battle, whatever the concern, Lord, whatever is happening, Lord, for every plan. And we just affirm, Lord, wherever we go and whatever we do, we're blessed, Lord. We're blessed. Let the blesser of the Holy Spirit be released in this moment. Thank you for your mighty presence, Lord, in this place. I want the prayer teams just to come now, if you would. And we're going to say a prayer here in our church. I want you to reach out to God with your own faith based on everything that you have heard today. I want you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ afresh. You say, He loves me. He died for me. But what do I have to do to be saved? You must simply open the door of your heart and say, Christ, I receive you. Make me a follower of you. Repent of your sins. Turn from them. Become a follower of Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you call on him right now? Here's our prayer. Let's say it together. Father God, thank you for opening the door to new life through Christ. You've blessed me time and time again, but I believe the best is yet to come. Today, I ask you to teach me to prosper and bring me all the way into the land. I confess that through Christ, I can do. Say it again. I confess that through Christ, I can do all things. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we could all be together today. This has been wonderful. Next Sunday is going to be amazing. Big announcements. Big announcements. Be here. And then let's be praying and bring a carload of people to Resurrection Sunday. I love each and every one of you. If you need healing prayer, salvation prayer, loving prayer, folks are here at the front. God bless you. You're dismissed with the Lord's blessing.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.